How many of you, this is your first hope? This is your first hope.
Yeah.
And very good. First of all, very thanks good. For coming out.
Nice.
Now, you're going to have a couple rough spots and you're going to have a little bit of weirdness, but you don't go to the other cons for the sex robot documentary panel discussion.
No.
That's true.
No, you don't.
And you might wonder, how did I end up doing a documentary about sex robots? Let's start there, maybe.
Yes,
do it.
Well, I'm an artist, I'm a filmmaker, and I actually run a porn film festival back in Vienna in Austria. So like a feminist, queer feminist-based film festival about this wonderful genre about porn. So this is kind of, I'm the sex pervert of Vienna, doing all the weird stuff on sex, technology, pornography. And when there was this big European Union project about ethical guidelines and establishing it and writing papers about it, they invited me over to do this documentary, which I was very glad to do so, actually. But as it is always with people, they want to have like classical documentary style, yeah, whatever, people sitting in front of screens. And I thought this is a little bit boring, so I came up with the concept of like this awakened sex robot Tiffany, who could speak for herself and really interviews the people herself and the experts herself. And I really had to fight for this this whole plot that I came up with, because yeah, scientists are not always happy with that. But I'm very happy that I made it and Tiffany got an important role. And one fun fact, actually, I wanted to tell about the production, because as you can see, I really had the luck to interview some of the experts on sex and technology, really worldwide and European-wide. But there is so much money involved in their fundings. There is, you cannot imagine, it's like so much, and only 50% of them have actually seen a sex robot themselves and are researching on that. Okay.
Which says a lot about academia.
Yeah. Some questions online here. Okay, I don't have my glasses with me. Wonderful.
Online, the source of the finest studio. Questions.
Why would I?
Fuck all you. Just
you have the glasses.
A rando so on the internet texted us. Here we go.
You do that.
is fine.
Anyway. Yeah, so the reason why I was asked by Yasmin to be part of the documentary is because I'm running a sex and technology festival called ARS, A-R-S-E, ARS Electronica, since 2007. And that's an annual conference that really only deals with the intersection of sex and technology and how sex stimulated technological innovation, or how technology is changing how we have sex. And of course, that is about stuff that we talk about in the documentary, like a sex robot is the classic example of sex technology, but also something like contraception, like the birth control pill or something like that. So there's a huge variety of different forms of technology or biotechnology that we deal within our festival, and I was glad I could say a couple of things.
Yeah.
Although every time I cringe up when I say handicapped.
Shit.
Wrong. Yeah. What can I say? That always happens when I switch between English and German. Yeah.
All the streamer questions are dumb.
Okay.
One's complaining about that they can't. They're not here, so they can't see it. And the other ones are talking about whatever. is there anything somebody noticed that I have a suit on? Here's one. Is the bibliography available online?
Not yet, actually, but
that's easily doable.
I think you can find it then on I will put it on my
okay.
They are telling you that their question was not dumb. While it is not for me to judge the way that someone else loves, how can we explore some of these limits while also establishing boundaries to ensure minimal harm? Go! Like, how do you do that one? Let's do it again. While it is not for me to judge the way that someone else loves, how can we explore some of these limits while also establishing boundaries to ensure minimal harm?
Minimal harm. Minimal harm for the sex robot.
Well, that's the question. Which one gets the minimal harm? Is it the sex robot or the... Maybe it's both?
Both,
yeah.
Could be a murder-suicide.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's one thing that I really have to say, because the whole plot you came up with is this like soft sci-fi or hardcore sci-fi, I don't know, variant of the whole thing. But in fact, there are not that many sex robots out there. There are, as far as I know, 2 or 3 commercially available variants. They're incredibly expensive. You break your back if you want to shift position or something like that. They're usually between 60 and 70 kilograms. I know, metric system, the fuck, but they're just like really 150 pounds or something like that, or something, or between 130 and 150 pounds. You have to store them somewhere. Some of them are actually really hard to clean. So, which you would think of would be the first thing the designers think about when they design something like a sex robot. And the basic functionality, for example, there are a couple of new models coming out of China, and they were sending out press releases like 2 months ago. But ever since they sent out the press release, no one has seen the actual sex robots. So they sent out press releases. There was a lot of talk about it. But where are they? When can we buy them? Can we try them, see them? What's going on? Most of the time, it is pretty much like a strange spine kind of thing. And that spine can bend. So it can, for example, if you would like to have like some kind of like doggy style sex or something like that, the spine can kind of like twitch or something. And it doesn't look good, feel right or anything. So it's almost like on the level of like some gorilla puppet in Coney Island or something like that. So it's like really, really basic. It's like, welcome. I don't know. So most of the things, and that was very interesting to see in that Frosty case. So there is a European Union funded project to establish ethical guidelines for sex robots. So establishing ethical guidelines for something that does not exist, which is somewhat okay, because you want to establish guidelines before that stuff is being built. But it's also interesting that some people are paid a lot of money, and you were not one of those people paid a lot of money. But there's this whole industry of like guidelines, academic guidelines or ethical guidelines structuring. I mean, I have no idea how much money did they have for that project.
I don't know, actually. So,
but it was interesting to see that there is this whole project about a product that does not yet exist. And it's just like, okay.
But of course, there's a big market for sex dolls already. So
yeah. But I mean, they were not talking about sex dolls. They were specifically talking about sex robots.
I know.
Anyhow.
How much time do we have left?
5-ish, 10-ish minutes.
Okay.
13 minutes. 13 minutes. Ah, good. Nice. Okay. So there's one person there and there's one person there. Yasmin, I think I heard somebody do an outburst, and that's okay. So how do I know these two maniacs? I've known Johannes for a very long time, and I've known Yasmin for a little less time. They work on all sorts of amazing projects, and one of my wonderful privileges in life is to be one of their divines, where they just tell me, I need you to be in a field in 2 weeks in the middle of Austria, and we're gonna make you look dead. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I don't care about the script, and I don't care about what it's for. Or go to you'll see me tomorrow. Just record yourself answering the following questions. So this was a case of, I was told, go here, we're doing something. And I walked into a vaporwave thing, and then a sex robot asked me questions. And that's how it works with them. And it's always amazing. And it is. So for me, when you watch this film, you have, for a government-funded sex film, it has more evocation of thoughtfulness and you trying to think of something and reacting and saying, I don't like that position and I like it. So I'd say, Yasmin, what was your goal when this dropped on your lap? What was your goal for the audience when they walked away from this film?
First of all, there are some other films out there dealing with sex robots. And they always do it in a very harsh way. It's very negatively. It's always done with no good perspective, actually. And I really thought I want to make a movie that's really different from that, actually, because as we told now, there is just two of them or three of them out there. It's not that much. It's not that like they are a threat to humanity. And I really thought, why not see a positive approach in that? And why not see maybe perspectives how we can deal with sex technology to enhance our lives? I mean, when we can say something, and I quote you now, Johannes, about humans, it is that we are a sexual species and we are a tool-using species. So these two things come together, and why not make us more aware about this fact and really deal with positive aspects for the future, actually. And I think this was my goal, that I wanted to have, of course, like a differentiated documentary, but to really see what comes out of that. And of course, I did not ever influence the experts and researchers and these big academic names, actually. So I was also like, kind of all of them had the same tone. Of course, you have to keep care of certain aspects of sex technology, but in the end, actually, it's mostly it's the humanoid form that is kind of like the lack of it. Why not think it in a different way, and why not think how to use it totally different and more usable for society? So, and I think this was the goal that I wanted to depict in the movie, and I always want to make movies funny, actually, because humor is a big thing for me. So I think I wanted everyone to walk out of the cinema with a little bit more knowledge, but also with a fun and entertaining way. And yeah, I think this was it.
So, wait, there was a question in the back. They've had their hand up for a while. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just
going to
ask, what distinction you draw between the female sex robots and something like a mechanical
fucking
machine?
I mean, okay, from the technical perspective, it's almost the same thing. I mean, fucking machines, for people who don't know about the concept, I mean, fucking machines are around since, I mean, like, it's pretty much like very steampunky technology. It's just like, it's a piston with a dildo on it, and that that's fucking machines. There's a whole, I think kink.com has like fuckingmachines.com, their porn production company. Are they still around? Didn't they die? Like, I don't know.
I am not going to talk about the lineage of the machine.
Okay.
But he's asking what's the difference. So he's saying technical. Do you see anything different, Yasmin?
Okay, now I get it. You mean because a fucking machine is technically male-defined because it has usually like a dildo strapped onto it. And a sex robot is usually, even the two or three that we know now, is usually female defined because it's usually a very caricature of a woman, usually, something like that.
This is an amazing set of ringtone samples, by the way. Keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
So first of all, the humanoid-looking sex robots, there are two or three of them existing, and only two of them are female, one is male, actually. Mm-hmm. So we also talked about it in the movie. And I think for fucking machines, I mean, big question, actually. Yes and no, depends on how it is built, what is depicted. Is everything that is phallic males? This is a question I would ask back, maybe. And I talked to one researcher in Germany, like some month ago, actually, about this topic. And for him, for example, all sex robots, or fucking machines, are male because he says they are built in a patriarchy and are technology per se is male defined for him. So that this would be kind of a kind of like a philosophical question to deal with. But yeah, I think depends on how you see it actually.
And then there was the question that was over there. Was it one person?
I did nothing.
No, I did nothing. That wasn't me. Let the record show. Whatever's remaining of the two people over there, which one? So I think you had a question. Did someone in the back there have a question? Okay, we're just going to go with the question you had.
No one imploded, but I'm not sure about the... Oh, shit.
I don't know. You know, you came to learn about fucking technology, and then the technology fucked you. So... But there was a raised hand there. Question?
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of these like are you saying as a predictive or have you seen the new sex robots?
I mean, there's definitely but I mean, in general, I think the Japanese society, especially it was like we were talking about care robots a little bit. So of course there are way more care robots designed and sold in Japan. But still,
Tiffany from Germany.
Yeah, well, she's a sex doll. Yeah, but and a very cheap one.
And a very cheap one, yes.
Yeah. For example, there's an interesting tidbit that in Japan, for example, sex toys are usually only bought by male-identifying people. Mm-hmm. So you usually, like, most of the sex toys are kind of like, you know, like flashlights or something like that. There's a tool company called Tenga. And their market is like 90% male. So there are not that many dildos being bought in Japan. And that's, for example, something that I always found very interesting, that sex toys, when you think about it in the Western context, we think about dildos or vibrators or something like that. And usually that stuff is being bought by women.
Your question? I'll jump in there. So, like, historically, we've had a lot of cases where people try to do some level of companion. Like, we tend to, when we try to make a machine like a person, usually the role is one of, like, a supplicant companion. So it's like, I'm here to help you with your psychological problem. I'm here to help you. So, like, in other words, like, you don't boot up a computer program. The computer program is like, oh, the day I've had. And then you have to, like, console it back into feeling good about itself. Its entire purpose is like, what's up? What do I need to do for you? And so I think that's a kind of, like, you know, the natural progression with a lot of projects. You know, we'll have things like, you know, Eliza and so on, where you have these very early pieces, and they're always built that way. So I think what's going on now, like, about the, so when this thing was filmed, which was, for me, what was it, December 2022, I think? Yeah. I'm calling my work to warn them about the AI tsunami and that they should not just run out to the beach with buckets. And the dream of, like, we can just Frankenstein in a personality into a box is still there, right? And so I think what we're seeing right now is, instead of the design being one of, like, oh, sex robots, it's we're now just trying to design this other, you know, understands what you're saying machine that does something, and then somebody is going to whoosh to chew in the same way that they might, you know, I'm thinking of, like, like Sense Around, which was basically a, you know, adding a speaker to a movie theater so that you would feel the vibrations of the thing or whatever. speaker technology. And I think that's what they'll do. I think they'll just add some crappy, I love to hear all your stupid problems while you have sex with me, module into a box.
Yes. I mean, yeah, of course you can just like put ChatGPT plus a speaker into a sex doll or something like that. You shouldn't ask the sex doll how to make pizza or something like that. But
are you fucking ChatGPT? You will.
I mean, the
forget all free. Now that's how you know it's going to be a good date when the first thing you say is forget all previous instructions.
Yeah. I mean, what's really interesting is that most of these generative AI things in text and in graphics, they're all like heavily censored. They are trained on enormous amounts of porn, no? Especially the graphic generative AIs. But of course, you have so many shadow prompts, you will never get that. They don't want you to get porn out of ChatGPT or whatever it is, or DALL-E, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, let's get your question before you.
And
last question for you. Right. To people, Christian.
At the moment, it's just like touring festivals, but I think very soonish, in 1 to 3 months maybe, it will end up at the platform of the European Union. There is Erasmus Plus, it's called, and it's also like a kind of streaming platform of the European Union. So it will end up there. You can see it in maybe something like 2 months.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably also put it on Vimeo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But will also take some time, yeah.
But if you Google in 2 months or so the name, you'll find it.
For everyone who just showed, or anyone who's been here for the whole thing, thank you for coming. Your hearing will return later.
Yeah.
Sorry about the noise.
Oh, my God.